what they say about bones? You know what bones are famous for? Bones are famous for breaking, for one thing. Yeah, God made us very fragile, but this is a phenomenon. Is that when bones break, they will grow back stronger. Wow. Is that not a physical miracle that would point us to a spiritual miracle? Namely, that God says, I break and I heal. I kill and I make alive. But if he only killed to make alive, why kill in the first place? If he only breaks to heal, why break in the first place? Ah, my friends, ladies and gentlemen, he does not break merely to heal, but he breaks so that in the healing becomes stronger because of the break. And this happens physically. And if you don't believe that, well, we know it's true with bones, right? When a bone breaks, it mends. And because there's been a trauma to that area, the body goes, oh, geez, this might happen again. We're going to make sure it doesn't. We're going to send some extra calcium, some extra white blood cells to that area. We're going to make sure this sucker doesn't happen again. So it overcompensates because of the weakness. It overcompensates, and now that break point actually becomes firmer. And if you want to see the truth of this in the musculature, the muscular system, look at bodybuilders. Go to Google and find some photos of Arnold Schwarzenegger in his competition days as a bodybuilder. The reason people get big muscles is because when you work out, I've explained this to you before, but I find a new opportunity here as we finish up with the Valley of Dry Bones today and we look at the two sticks, one of the house of Judah, one of the house of Israel. It's a joining together of a split. This is what I'm getting to. God split the nation Israel after the days of Solomon. He broke it in half, and he sent northern tribes to the north, southern tribes, guess where? That's right, to the south. Why would God do that? Yes, everybody's always asking that question. Why did God do that? Why did he split the sexes, Martin? You know, he had one sex. Adam had both sexes within him. If you don't understand that, go to my video from Birmingham called, what did I call that? Sex? That's a good title. If I didn't, I should have. Yeah, I think I did. Anyway. You can find that at studyshelf.com. But God splits stuff so that when he rejoins it, because he's going to rejoin the sexes, you see. He is going to rejoin them. Thank God. Because now it's a big mess, I think. People think that, oh, this is a perfect situation to have two sexes. No, it's not. Yeah, if you tried it, it ain't perfect. And neither is this separation of Israel. In fact, Jesus Christ was separated from his Father on the cross, and yet he came back and he got more power and more glory because of the separation. Because of the separation, there was more power and more glory. But we fear separation. We always think it's a terrible thing. And yet Jesus himself said that his word is a sword that separates families, mothers from fathers, children from their siblings, and we mourn this. And yet, if we would look at God's program, especially here in the Valley of Dry Bones, at the end of Ezekiel chapter 37, we're going to see the rejoining of a split. And we're going to see that God had a plan all along, that he split Israel, which weakened it considerably, not saying it doesn't. After you break your ankle, you're weakened considerably. You're hobbling around on crutches for a time. When Jesus Christ died, those people hobbled around on crutches, quote unquote, I'm being metaphoric here, for 3 days, and they were debilitated and they couldn't do anything. And when you're separated from a loved one, what do? You're debilitated. You're broken. And you can't function properly. Just as if you would break an ankle. You're not meant to function properly. You're supposed to suffer through this crap. But know that there's an outcome. That God will rejoin it. He'll rejoin you with your dead loved one. If I can be as graphic as I can be here. And when he does, the reuniting will be so much greater and stronger. And inseparable and even interminable. Because then we will have immortality. And again, you see this in type with the littlest things on earth. Broken bones, healing. Now we're going to see the two houses of Israel joined by God. And You can't rejoice in the joining without realizing and recognizing the necessity of the split. And God does this all the time. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Break stuff. I don't like it. But he's given me wisdom to look through it. As I've been saying all through this series on the unveiling of Jesus Christ, you have to look through the breaking into the resurrection, through the tombstone. Don't look at the tombstone. I don't go to my parents' graves. I don't like staring at tombstones. If I did, I would look through it to the resurrection. Now, I'm going to go to verse 13 now. And today, I'm going to finish with this. And I think tomorrow, as I close the week, I might celebrate with a cigar as I finally tell you about the purpose of the 144,000 in the thousand-year kingdom. So he puts sinews and skin on the bones. Then he prophesies to the wind, and the wind raises the bones. This is the house of Israel. And they're not done forever. And Paul says that. Has God thrust away his people? May I not be coming to that? No, he hasn't cast them away. What is it? He's thrust versus cast. He's cast them away, but he hasn't thrust them away. They're not irretrievable, you see. So it's all in the drama of, ooh, looks like I lost them. Oh, looks like they're coming back better than they were when I lost them. God's playing this little game. Ooh, I lost them. And we're all like, it's like being in the movie theater. It's like, oh my God. And in Act 2, you get your heroes and heroines into these terrible predicaments. And you're biting your fingernails. Oh my God, they're never going to get out of this. They're done. And then, of course, there's that is the separation. That's my analogy. And then you hang around till the end of the movie and you see this wonderful joining together. And it's better than it was when it began, when the characters were introduced. So verse 13, you have known I'm Jehovah in opening your graves and in bringing you up out of your graves, O my people. I have given my spirit to you. You have lived. And I have caused you to rest on your land, the sabbatical, the ultimate sabbatical, the 1,000 years. And you have known that I'm Jehovah. I've spoken. I've done it. I've spoken. I've done it. I've spoken. And see, that's where we're at today. He's spoken. That's all. He's merely spoken. He hasn't done it. But if you look back at his history, he's got pretty good creds. God does. He has pretty decent credentials of having done what he said he was going to do. He speaks, and things do come into existence. The noise happens. It's just a matter of time. Time is what tortures us. The torture of time. I should name this the torture of time, but I think I'm going to name it Fractured Israel Rejoined. But the subtitle here could be the torture of time, because that's what it takes. You have known that I am Jehovah. I have spoken. I've done an affirmation of Yahweh. And there is a word of Jehovah to me saying, this is another vision, another thing Ezekiel has to do. Crazy thing, as I describe it to you. You will think, Ezekiel probably thought, all right, I'll do it. And you, son of man, take to yourself one stick and write on it for Judah and for the sons of Israel, his companions. And take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel, his companions. So these two sticks represent the house of Israel and the house of Judah, which God had divinely separated through human means. I'm not saying they weren't arguments. Rehoboam, Jeroboam, after Solomon, they were feuds, like a family feud, the Hatfields and the McCoys, pow, pow, and they argued. And all this was that we're going to take our toys and go up to Samaria. Oh, yeah, well, we're not going with you guys. We're staying here. And that they split. It was a family feud. But this was all of God. We're not looking at the intermediary here. We're just saying that God did it. God did it. God did it. But his hand is invisible most of the time. So one stick for Ephraim, which is the house of Israel, another stick for Judah. And bring them near. This is what God's telling Ezekiel to do, and bring them near one to another, to yourself, into one stick, and they have become one in your hand. Look what God does. Look at the base things he uses. Sticks, little sticks, to represent a thing as epic as the rejoining of the house of Israel and the house of Judah and the raising of Israel to shepherd all the nations. For that, let's see. Well, I'm going to use an example. Grab a couple sticks. Oh, man, that's so beautiful. Grab a couple sticks. And you break your ankle. What's that? It's nothing. It happens all the time. Ah, but it's an eloquent It's an eloquent spokesman of God's ability to make the break stronger than it was before. I love these insignificant, mean things that he uses. Verse 18, and when sons of your people speak to thee, saying, do you not declare to us what these are to you? Awkward language. I didn't write it. Speak to them. It's like your friends are going to watch you putting these sticks together. They're not going to hear what I'm telling you. They're just going to see you acting like a crazy person playing this little stick game, writing on the sticks, bringing them together. And they'll say, what the heck are you doing? Say to them this. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, lo, I am taking the stick of Joseph, that is, in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and have given them unto him with the stick of Judah, and have made them become one stick, and they have been one in my hand. And the sticks on which thou write, I did it again, the sticks on which you write have been in your hand before your eyes, and speak to them. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, lo, I am taking the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and have gathered them from round about, and I have brought them into their land, and I have made them become one nation in the land, on mountains of Israel, and one king is to them all for a king, and they are no more as two nations. Love that. There are no more two nations, nor are they divided anymore into two kingdoms again. God, the reason I'm moved by this is because I'm applying this to my personal life of divisions that have occurred in my life with people that I love and that have grieved me. And when I think of God holding up people instead of sticks and bringing them together again, I could cry because it's going to be so much better, and all the pains and all the misunderstandings and all the arguments of the kings of Israel, go back there. They're going to be healed. They're going to be mended, and all the tears are going to be dried, and there's finally going to be understanding. None of these constant miscommunications and misunderstanding, and God is going to bring us all together, not just the sticks here from Ephraim and from Judah, that too, but that's just a wisp of a hint of what he's going to do with the body of Christ, with us. And keep going with it if you want. I'm going to do it. Keep going with it. Take it to the celestial realm. Take it to the sovereignties and authorities of wickedness among the celestials, as opposed to those sovereignties and authorities of good. And God is going to bring them together. And only then will we see the genius of the break, the genius of the split. Right now, you just simply have to trust it, that he knew what he was doing when he split them up. He knew what he was doing. But if we can see that now by faith, using this, Ezekiel 37 of all places, just if you have to use this as an example of what God does. And he does this with humanity. He does it to the circumcision and to the uncircumcision and to the celestial realm. These are his habits. These are his motives of operation, and that which he applies to healing and bringing together Israel, he is going to apply to us personally, to our loved ones, and not only to us, but to every evil celestial being that has ever turned against God. They're coming back. They're coming back to oneness with him, stronger than when they left.